It's all about truly understanding what they want. The question you should always be asking yourself is, what does my ideal client want? The answer will change, you know, over time. But if you get in the habit of asking yourself that all of the time, it's easy for you to hit them on an emotional level because you're reminding them of what they want, unless it's not really what they wanted.
Hey, what's going on? It's your host, Tolu Oyemi, doing the most. Let's get to it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at TOLU.OWOYEMI. Now back to the episode.
Hey, what's going on, my masterminders? We got another episode on the books. Man, we got Sierra Say in the house. Sierra, welcome to the Mastermind Your Life.
Thank you, right.
First of all, you know, I'm super excited for this because I had to work to get you on the show. So that just makes me appreciate you more, appreciate the time we about to spend. But I'm fascinated because in today's world, everything is digital marketing. Things are moving fast. You got to be able to snag somebody's attention just like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I run a digital marketing agency and I know the power of words. And I know your copy has to be on point. So I'm super excited that you specialize in this area and you specialize in copy.
Definitely. It's so crazy. The longer I do this, the more I realize like how impactful it actually is. Like, don't get me wrong. I knew how important it was when I started, but the longer I do it, the more results I see my clients have. It's just like, okay, this thing is really what it appears to be.
Yeah, and you were even talking about a client. I think you said her name was Nicole Ambrose, and she made like $100,000 like in a weekend based off of you helping her with her Legion video and, you know.
Yeah, so Nicole Ambrose was a client in a program that I'm actually the copy coach in. And yeah, we... what exactly do we... Yeah, so with Nicole, she was she coaches real estate agents to grow their real estate business. So, you know, I helped her refine and create her Facebook ad video, Facebook ad script, and her initial, what we call a lead magnet video. And yeah, she went crazy. I mean, now don't get me wrong, there's other elements that go along with, you know, having that type of success that fast. Like, number one, Nicole is a great closer, you know, so she knows how to close people over the phone. Like, the copy attracts them, but you still got to close them. So
yeah, real estate people got that energy. Pop, you talk to them and that's it, you in.
Yeah,
but let's rewind. Let's have like this God-given gift, this ability. Can you talk about like some of your upcoming, like, you know, what shaped you to be the way you are? Kind of like, I read some of Detroit. Tell us about that, growing up in Detroit and, you know, some of the early days.
Born and raised in Detroit. I'm still here. Everybody thinks I live in Atlanta. I don't. I'm in Atlanta all the time, literally. I literally travel to Atlanta like 6 to 8 times a year. But born in Detroit, raised, like I said, I'm still here. So Detroit is a very, you know, blue-collar city, right? You learn the value of hard work early and work ethic early. For me, my first job, I was 12. I was a caddy, and that was my first exposure to like real life rich people. And that was when I knew that I didn't want to be regular. I knew that at that moment. And I remember as a kid, just like trying to figure out like, what can I do to put myself in a position to one day join this place that I was working in. So naturally you start looking at the jobs, right? Doctor, lawyer, all that stuff. At the time, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a journalist. At least I thought I did. So writing has always been like my thing, literally. Wow. Now, writing is a gift of mine. I won my first writing contest when I was in second grade. Started my high school sports section for the newspaper. Won a journalism scholarship to go to Michigan State. When I got to Michigan State, I started writing for like XXL, The Source. At that time, I thought I wanted to be a hip hop journalist. So XXL, The Source, there was a big magazine in the South. My guy Randy was the editor. And Beverly, what is the name of that magazine? I can't think of it, but all of the huge magazines I had bylines for. And then I took advertising up as a minor and I ran across this term called copywriting. And I'm like, huh, And they were talking about, you know, back then digital marketing wasn't as big. I was in college 2005 to 2010. So they were talking about, you know, the magazines, like the headlines in the magazines, the billboards, when you're getting mailers, like, and that was the impact. And I'm like, that's pretty interesting. So as digital marketing started to evolve around 2009, that's when I dropped out, 2009. But 2010 is when I started studying digital marketing. And then I saw, you know, this term copywriting again. And I'm like, oh, there it is again. So I'm like, you know what? I think I can do this. So I dibbled and dabbled for years, you know, practicing, never really took it serious. And then around 2021 now. I need to write this out. So it had to be around 2014, 2015 is when I like got my first real shot at writing like real professional copy for someone.
Was it the E-Moms, the book project?
No. So now I know my timeline is off. So this, the first time I started writing for someone was like 2013 then. And this was a free thing, like just writing emails for somebody. This was a local business in Detroit. And then that opportunity came, I worked with E's mom on her book in 2018, because that's when I left my job. I started writing and working with E in 2015, because I worked with him for 5 years. Last year was the last year I was, yeah, so 2015 is when I started working with him. So, that's the amended version. It's definitely been a journey. I've been blessed on this journey to work with literally the top people in their respective industries. When I first started, I was, you know, writing any and everything for any and everybody. And over the last 2 years is when I kind of like honed in, and it's like only coaches and consultants, because, you know,
hey, that's where the bag is at too.
So it's not just, to be honest, if for anybody who's watching this, you're a copywriter, where the bag is in e-com right now. That's where the real bag is.
Yep.
Everybody has online stores and the email sequences. They run Facebook ads. But I chose coaching and consulting because I believe there's a bigger impact when a good coach and a good consultant can get in front of their right client and provide that transformation. Like, I literally tell them they're the unknown superheroes of the world. Because if they get in front of their right client and they transform this client's life, now this client is transforming their family's lives and their clients' lives. And it's just like a never ending cycle. But the problem is most coaches and consultants only know how to coach and consult. They don't know how to market. They don't know how to put together the proper messaging. They just know that when they have a client to serve, they're going to serve them at the highest level. But all of these other pieces, they have a hard time pulling it all together. They're great at what they do, but what I do is just not what they do.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you said that, because you're right. You know, e-commerce with Klaviyo, you know, MailChimp, and, you know, Shopify's, you know, email sequence. Even over the weekend, I just built a abandoned cart recovery sequence, you know, for the accelerator program that we have. And it's something that, you know, it takes thought. You have to... You're building it out an active campaign or your Klaviyo, and did they click on this and not? But even when I think of something like abandonment cart recovery, I think of, oh my God, like, this is the opportunity to, like, you know, get them in or like convince them of the value that you have before that person, you know, forever is gone. So when you think of things like that, how do you craft a narrative, or how do you craft a message in order to, because it's all about attention nowadays, but to get them to, you know, maybe re-energize their attention on, okay, this culture, this product, or this person has this, and I really should pay attention.
It's all about truly understanding what they want. That's really what it, even my clients that I coach on Wednesdays, I always ask them, the question you should always be asking yourself is, what does my ideal client want? The answer will change, you know, over time. But if you get in the habit of asking yourself that all of the time, it's easy for you to hit them on an emotional level, because you're reminding them of what they want, unless it's not really what they wanted. So, but it, that is a question that you have to constantly be asking yourself. What does my client want? What does my ideal client want? Especially if you're in a space where you're developing multiple products and services, like you have to constantly be aware of what it is that they actually want. And not only know what they want, but be able to articulate why you're the best person to help them achieve that. Also, thinking about where are they now and where do they want to be? How are you going to help them go from point A to point B? And a lot of these, it's so funny, Tolu. When I first started, I used to always think, you know, these are simple questions, but they're not. Not for people who create things, because a lot of times, and I've been guilty of it, you know, myself as a creator, a lot of times we create the stuff that we think someone needs instead of creating exactly what they want. So that's just a question everybody should always be asking. I don't care what you're selling or you know what it is. You should always be asking, what do they want? What do they want? And get in the habit of being able to articulate why you're the best person to help them achieve that.
Wow. And when you say like that, it's so simple. It's like, what do they want? And like, focus in on it. New entrepreneurs, right? And I think that people that are starting to get into coaching, or they have a gift, they have a talent, you know, there's something within them that they have to serve to the masses, to society, you know, to the generation. Who and how do you think they should best clarify their messaging? Because it always feels as if not all the time, but the longer you are in the game, the more precise you get with your messaging and your ability to be like, this is my niche right here.
Yep. And so the first thing to do is get in the game, right? Like start trying things. Cause we all start with what we want to do. And I'm using myself as an example. When I first started out as a copywriter, it's like, I work with people who have beauty brands, e-com, you know, obviously personal development, coaches, consultants, like whatever you needed copy for, I was willing to do. Wow. And I was able to, you know, to perform. But then as you start working with clients, there's a couple different things you need to ask yourself. Who do you actually like working with? Especially if you're in the coaching and consulting space, or you provide services, you have to start, you know, understanding, okay, who do I actually like working with? You know, can these people pay me what I want to be paid? Because just because you can provide the service, that doesn't mean that they can pay you like the rates you want to pay. We all know when you start off new entrepreneurship, everybody, you're willing to negotiate because you're just so hungry for a client, right? So learning who you want to work with, do you like them? Can they pay you? And then can you actually help them?
Yeah.
So as you just go through your process, you really need to pay attention to how you feel while working on certain projects. What projects are are your profit margins like, you know what I'm saying? Like higher. What are some other things I should pay attention to? How long it's taking you to complete certain projects? Like I went from working with any and everybody who was willing to pay me, writing bios. Like I was writing all, if you need something written, you can do it. I would do it. So I went from that to niching down to just copy. So now that we're going down to just copy, sales pages, emails, Facebook ads, landing pages, websites, captions, that's what I niched it down to. So then I niched it down from those six things with copy to, okay, now I'm only providing copy to just coaches and consultants. So now, then I did that. And this is recent, but it may or it may not expand back out. Recently, over the last 6 to 12 months, I went back to kind of what got me in the position that I am today. And now I'm only focusing on helping people create emails that increase their revenue and get them more clients without them doing more work. So it evolves. Like I always think of it like one of those stretchy bands. Like you kind of do like this because it's business, right? It's ebbs and flows. You got to pay attention to what's going on. But once you feel yourself in a groove where it's like, I'm making what I want to make. I'm working with the people I want to work with. I'm not stressed out. Stay in that groove. Don't try to, a lot of times we're like, oh, well, I can do this and I can do that. I'm telling you, stay in that groove. I make more money writing just emails than I ever made writing all that other stuff. So when people say the riches are in the niches, that's not, I used to hate when people told me that, like, why wouldn't I go get this money over here? No.
Right.
The riches are really in the niches, because now you become like a specialist. You never want to be a generalist. Mm. Never. Once you become a specialist and you're known for this, that's when you can for real charge top dollar.
Exactly.
I mean, top dollar, but you know what I mean? Like, that's when you, like, for example, if your digital marketing company became known for helping e-com brands 10x their revenue, and you only work with e-commerce as a digital marketing company, like, that's Tolu. I know somebody who need e-com marketing, go to Tolu.
Definitely, definitely. It's interesting that you said that. Just talking to a client earlier, and we're setting up a webinar for him, and the same thing I was telling him was, like, if you're trying to do 8 to 9, because I feel like right now in America especially, there's so many business ideas, so many business models flying around us, and you can, hey, Turo, hey, Airbnb, hey, digital marketing, hey, e-commerce, Shopify, and for you to be like, you know what, I want to specialize in this specific niche within this specific market, because if you're the jack of all trades, you're the master of none.
No.
You know, 15 different things to do XYZ, but when it comes down to, let's say, Airbnb, how specialized, how deep can you go into it? Because the deeper you can go into it, the more valuable your knowledge becomes, because you can help not just yourself build up that portfolio, but you can help others cut through a lot of the ebbs and flows and the wait time and the periods. And people can kind of sense that about people, especially nowadays. You know, when you look at somebody's Instagram, you look at their social media, and you can see just how concentrated they are in certain areas. And then from there, that will give you the confidence to even want to do business, you know, with that coach, with that entrepreneur. But if you're doing, you know, Jungle Jackson,
right,
every other week you got something new going on, he's like, nah, I ain't about that.
It's crazy because there's very few people that works well for. And I'm off the top of my head, I know a few, and I'm always in. But I think why it works for them is because they're known as, like, serial entrepreneurs. But not only that, they get in the game on a lot of these trends super early. For example, I don't know if you heard of Maddie J?
Yeah,
Maddie J was teaching Turo before people really knew what Turo really was.
Yep.
Maddie J was teaching Turo like last year. Now it's like you see it everywhere. But Maddie J is also one of those entrepreneurs where it's like he gets in on everything early. But I consider Maddie J to be more of a teacher than an entrepreneur. So you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he's still doing what he does. Not only that, he doesn't teach anything that he doesn't actually try and prove first,
yep,
which is what I respect about him.
It's a lot of scamming going on.
Yeah, definitely. David Shands is another, you know, serial entrepreneur where over the years, he's built brands. He's built things. And then he teaches you how to go and build the same thing. But if I would say that they're known, that they're a master. So Dave is a master at, in my opinion, probably teaching, just like Maddie J.
Yeah,
communicating. Yeah, content. I would put Dave in that, but Maddie J, I think, is a master at just teaching. But he teaches based on knowledge he's applied. He doesn't teach based on theory, and that's where the lines kind of get crossed in this whole internet marketing thing. You got a lot of people teaching on theory, and not a lot of people teaching based on what they've actually done.
Yeah. And I think that's what's making people nowadays very, very skeptical. Oh, you got another coach? You got a program? It's interesting because if you see people running ads nowadays, the response, the comments, people telling you like, yo, you chose the wrong interest, bro. Like the people nowadays, they're so caught up to ads and marketing and the little bit of like the understanding behind it, that you gotta be, your brand, I feel like, has to be history, substance. It has to, you know, it has to be something, the essence, the spirit of it. It can't, like, you know, people coming up with drop shipping stores, bam, overnight, you know, trying to sell some hot trending product.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you could, but it's not really gonna it's gonna burn out quick.
You know what right now reminds me of is when hip hop got to a point where nobody wanted to be a fan anymore. Everybody wanted to be a critic. So it's like the people who had the longevity, and if you pay attention, it's like the people who had the longevity were just building and partnering up with more people to become even bigger. And a lot of the smaller people who were sweet, but they kind of got drowned out because now everybody's a critic. Nobody just wants to be a fan. That's kind of what's happening in entrepreneurship. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Nobody wants to be. And I mean, I guess I get it, but I tell, like, I have friends, I tell people all the time, this, and I don't know if you allowed us to know your podcast,
go,
but
go ahead.
No, this shit ain't for the weak. It is not. One thing that I respect about my two favorite mentors and coaches is that when I went to, you know, get help from them, they like, it's not easy, but it's possible. And I think what's going on a lot now is everybody making it seem like it's easy. It's yep. not easy to get people to buy something, even if they know they need it. It's too many options. So you yep. you got to be in it for the long game. I'm not saying you can't have success fast, because I was blessed to build a six-figure copywriting business in 2 years. I know people who've been writing copy longer than me who still trying to get out of their job. Like, they haven't been able to. But yeah, I just hate when people try to act like it's not easy. It is not. But it's worth it.
It's worth it. And I think when you look at the spirit of America, you look at the essence of America's entrepreneurship, for real. You know, everybody wants to brag. People want to flex. They want to show you how good they live. And they want to, you know, it's what you doing with your time? What you doing with your opportunity? Because we see all these, like, megastars, you know, the top entrepreneurs from Neo Davis. So, you know, like the Alex Good Energy, you know, like, or even outside of our community, like the Grant Cardones, you know, you see these super, like, I feel like entrepreneurs are becoming the new superstars, the new rappers. Like,
definitely.
We just saw this conference with Him 5 Recession Proof, where Ross came out, you know, and it's like you're seeing that because there's so much information coming out. I feel like nowadays, if you don't make it, if you don't have something going on, it's like, I don't know, something might not be firing, you know.
Definitely, but I think what a lot of people get caught up in is they think consuming the information is the work, and it's not. You know, I learned very early in my entrepreneurial journey, applied information. It's like you have to apply the information, because that's the only way to determine how you need to optimize it for your particular business or your particular journey. Reading books, listening to podcasts, watching you can do that till you're blue in the face. It's not, you know, that's not the work. The work is building the funnel. The work is, you know what I'm saying, launching the sequence. That's the work.
Yeah, and A/B testing those sequences, seeing the click-through rate.
Yeah,
you know, all of that, and then being like, how do you adjust that so, you know, you can increase that conversion rate? And that's work, because that's why I'm excited to talk to you, because
the data,
the data is key. When we talk about digital marketing, everywhere you go, everybody's a digital marketer. When you talk about funnels, everywhere you go, somebody's a click funnel strategist, expert, consultant. But when you talk about copywriting, I don't see to, like, maybe like once or two, like,
it's still far. It's still not a lot. I mean, I think I know three off the top of my head. But yeah, it's still an area of expertise that a lot of people, I don't know what they're afraid of, but it's not easy either. You really, outside of, so to me, I don't think the most important skill set of a copywriter is being able to write. I think the most important skill set is understanding psychology and marketing. And then when it comes to working with particular clients, you have to understand your client's voice. Like, for me, all of my clients are what people perceive as personal brands, right? Like Wall Street Trapper, his brand is himself. Marquell, his brand is himself. Even when I was working with E and David, like, they are the foundation of their brand. As a copywriter, you have to be able to grab their voice and make sure that everything you're creating sounds like it comes directly from their mouth. And I think for a lot of copywriters, that's difficult. And that's why they would rather work with, like, you know, the beauty brand or the, you know, or the companies. I don't find a lot of copywriters who are focusing and specializing in the areas that I'm specializing in. I don't.
Nah. And I think, you know, when you look at, even now, when I'm on Instagram, I see ads from email agencies. I've started, like, I didn't see that a year or like 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, but now I'm starting to see more ads from agencies saying that, hey, did you know you're missing out on 20 to 30% of the revenue your store could be making if you don't have a quote-unquote rich sequence built out email-wise? And when you think about it, I think people neglect those parts because it's so fascinating to just turn on Facebook ads and, you know, start seeing these sales coming in and, you know, these email. But then, do you have a nurture sequence? Do you have an abandonment cart recovery sequence? Do you have a follow-up sequence? Do you have a somebody successfully purchased a product, now you want to upsell them on maybe other products and things that you have down the line sequence? And it's interesting because I think even people kind of email week, it's like week, you know, oh, we got Instagram, I can see video, and then people think of email. It's like, come on, man. You know,
the crazy thing is, so it's still the number one marketing channel across with them all, over text, over social media, over paid advertising. I just did a presentation to a group of 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs where I was explaining to them, like, this is still the number one marketing channel. The ROI is $43 for every dollar you spend. 79% of consumers say that they buy based on from emails, like, but it, because it's, I think it's because it's what I consider to be the OG of digital marketing. Mm-hmm. Like, the email was first out of all the different marketing channels. And I think everybody likes what's new and what's shiny versus using what works. I got a client right now. She has 4,800 people on her email list. Our open rates are 50%.
Wow.
So it's not that it doesn't work. People just don't use it right. Mm-hmm. They try to buy these lists, or, you know what I'm saying? They don't communicate often and effectively with the list. They only want to send something when they got a sale going on or when it's Black Friday. And they don't set the proper expectations. So that's why most people, you know, have dismal open rates. They're not seeing anybody, buy. Like, I have a client, right? So we're getting his open rate up. Right now, he's still teetering between like 15 and 20%. But he's making, like, honestly, between $3,000 and $5,000 per email. And we send emails 3 days a week.
Okay, and that was a question I was just about to ask, because some people, they advocate you got to send out an email every single day. Other people is like, you got to send it out once a week. Somebody's like, once a month. Like, from everything that you've seen and the different clients working with them, what is an optimal, you know, rate of sending out emails?
So this question I always answer two different ways, right? So with my personal clients, I say minimum 3 times a week. Wow. Because and when I say 3 times a week, I'm not saying you have to tell them to buy something in every single email. That's it, but it's value, right? If you're doing what you should be doing from a content perspective or whatever you have going on in your business, 3 emails a week should be easy. But one of my mentors, who I respect and love dearly, his rule is you send the email for every day you want to make money.
So that's every day.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Ben Fettles, which is someone I study a lot when it comes to the email game, every day. He says email every single day.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know.
I get the apprehension some people have, but I also know that it works.
Yeah, it keeps them, I think, because one, it keeps them close to you, because email is that connection with somebody, but it's just over text. So, like, if I'm able to see that, I'm like, man, okay, this person, you know, like, you feel like you in a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Versus that person that sends an email, like, when they got a sale coming out, and they call them, like, email whores or something like that. Like, you'll never contact your email list, but as soon as you got something that you're trying to
drop,
then you're like, hey, yo, what's up? And they're like, come on,
right. No, definitely. So yeah, that's the biggest thing. But I say with everyone, you know, minimum. I think the only time you shouldn't, you know, if you want to say, well, is there a time when I shouldn't send the emails? Like, if you know you're going through a really big shift in your business to where you're about to just completely change directions, once you figure out what that new direction is, then get back on whatever cycle you had yourself on. But when you send that first email out, like, reintroduce yourself, what you got going on. Give people who may no longer be interested the opportunity to leave, and then figure out what is your cadence moving forward. Because there's been plenty of times in my own business where it's like, okay, I'm not going to be doing this anymore. Let me get this set up, and then let me announce it to my email list. Whoever stays, stay. And there's a lot of people on my email list, though, who I know for sure, they just dare to kind of steal the emails.
Like, yeah. I'm going to take this right here. Okay. Copy, paste.
Definitely.
Oh man. Okay. What are the best type of clients that you prefer, that you genuinely enjoy working with, and like, what kind of characteristics do those clients have?
So right now, my favorite clients are 6 and 7 figure business owners for two reasons. Not because they can afford to pay me, but number one, these type of business
payment comes in on time. 6 figures, 7 figures, you're not gonna worry about chasing nobody down.
To be honest, what I love about working with 6 and 7 figure coaches and consultants is that they're worried about what they need, what they should be doing. I don't like to be micromanaged, and like, before I decided I'm gonna work with somebody, like, I literally tell them, you let me do what I do, you do what you do, you get a video update from me every Friday, we meet once a month, it's really nothing else to talk about. You know what I mean? So that's one of the characteristics. I don't like clients who, like, over my shoulder, over my back.
Yo, you send out the email, can you tweak that one line right there?
Yeah.
That was kind of not me. That was kind of last year. You know what? I saw the CTR rate. Can we do?
The crazy thing is, Tolo, by the grace of God, I don't know the last time I had a client who was like, yeah, you think? I do not know. I don't know. The second characteristic is I truly only like working with coaches and consultants who I believe in what they're doing. For quite a few of my clients, I was actually like, they were my coach first. So he was my coach before I had the opportunity to work alongside him for 5 years. Dave was my coach before I had the opportunity to work along with him. Marquell coached me before I had the opportunity to work with him. And then, like, you know, Wall Street Trapper, huge fan of what he's doing. I don't invest in stock yet, but I believe in his movement and what he's doing. I don't know if you ever heard of Dr. Bobby Price. He's a holistic doctor. He has a book called Vegetation and Medication. I use his products. Like, he has his own natural detoxes and multivitamins, but I used his products before he actually became a client of mine. So I have to believe in what you're doing. And if I haven't used that product or service yet, please believe I'm going to. So those are two. You said two or three?
No, I just said list the characteristics. Oh, yeah. It could be two, it could be four, it could be three.
Then the last characteristic, like, you have to have a long-term vision. None of my clients are like, I'm just trying to, you know, make a couple dollars and get out. Like, they're like, right now, and I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I'm gonna say it right now, what Wall Street Trapper is planning, he's planning something for June that is gonna take him, you know, it's more than stocks. On the surface, it looks like, oh, this guy is just teaching stocks. No, he got a whole, you know, plan. Same thing, you know, with Marquell. Marquell thing is, we about to help create more Black millionaires than ever. So it's not just, oh, let me teach you Facebook ads. No, it's like, let me help you build a business. Because that's another thing a lot of people are not talking about. They teach you how to sell these ebooks and these courses. Ain't nobody teaching you how to build a business.
That's right.
If you're not working 24/7.
And so, yeah. That's and the second question, and to that point, you're so right. Building a business is...
It's different from being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, because...
Like, I don't even like calling myself an entrepreneur anymore. I've slowly but surely started saying, I'm a business owner. Because you're an entrepreneur, you ain't nothing but a low-key employee. I mean, it's like, you own a business, but... So CEO is a real term that I think a lot of us try to shy away from. But the truth is, as a business owner, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, if you're building a real business, it's really only a couple things you should be doing. A lot, especially in the Black community, we don't like to delegate because we don't trust people. You know, we don't want to get nobody our passwords. We don't want to.
Yeah. Why you need that?
It's definitely a shift that's required, but it's one that I'm making slowly but surely.
Yeah, because if you're able to say, all right, I'm going to Cancun tomorrow and I'm going to be gone for a week, can that business still operate and maybe just have like a Zoom call with the person you've delegated to, or, you know, quick phone calls? But if you go and everything starts falling apart and fires is erupting everywhere, then you definitely are an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And that's what you, and don't get me wrong, that's everybody's reality at the beginning. But once you realize that, you have to sit down and say, okay, what do I need to put in place? One of the first things Mark Poe told me was the first thing you should get is an executive assistant. Like, that should be your first hire. Because there's a lot of small things that you shouldn't be checking the email. You shouldn't be sending emails to clients. Like, it's a lot of those little things that eat up your time. And they don't allow you to focus on what you should be focusing on to actually grow the business. Like, I realized it's really only three things I should be doing every day: working on my client stuff, creating content, and looking at data. That's about it.
Yep.
That's about it. All the smart things, that's when all the, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes you can tell when you're about to do something, you're like, This is not a higher level thinking that's going to help the business progress forward, you know, strategically. Like, this is not going, like, some things you can tell, like, okay, this thing that I'm about to work on, this is going to elevate the business, or this is going to put my business in a position to strategically win. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to make my business more valuable to society, or it's going to strengthen the, like, for example, me and my business partner, we got standard operating procedures.
Mm,
we got
to go through
every Monday. We're looking at certain key numbers that's looking at the whole business from a bird's eye point of view to be able to look at the health. You got to look at the health of your business, you know.
Yeah.
Is some stuff breaking down and then you're going to find out about it when it explodes? Or can you see that, oh, okay, this is an area we need to touch up real quick so that, you know, everything is running smoothly? I was going to ask about, you know, a hook. You know, I think, you know, people are so, like, fascinating, like, oh, do you have your hook down? Like, can you tell them, like, what's the hook behind it? Could you tell us, like, what a hook is and even factor in, like, maybe a little bit of, like, a unique selling point?
Yeah, so I always describe a hook as you know, a headline that tells the person exactly what they're going to get once they either keep scrolling or opt in. They need to know exactly what they're getting. There's a couple different ways you can put that together. The hook needs to speak to the transformation and not the process. That's where people, and I know you didn't ask me that question, but that's the biggest mistake I see in hooks, you know, on all of these registration pages, sign up pages. People are talking about the process. They're not talking about the transformation. And that's where people kind of, that's where you go wrong.
What do you mean by that transformation?
So the transformation is what are you helping me with? What am I going to get after I, you know, read through this or sign up for this or keep, like, what, where am I going? Versus a lot of people talk about how they do stuff versus what they actually do. Like, I had a client earlier today. He's amazing at what he do. He built a new page and the hook was like how to get rid of insecurities and limiting beliefs without ever going back to your mindset. So I said, what is it that these people actually want though? He works with successful entrepreneurs who are stuck and can't, like, get past, like, they've reached a level of success. They want more success, but they can't get past it. He knows they can't get past it because deep down inside, they got limiting beliefs and insecurities. As anyone who's had any type of level of success, it takes a very aware person to admit that they're still insecure and have limited beliefs. So I'm like, people aren't opting in because you're turning them off with that. The people that you're attracting don't believe that this is their problem. You have to talk about what do they get after you help them fix this problem. Wow. So we changed it to how successful entrepreneurs are experiencing more freedom and more revenue in 90 days or less. Without, I forgot what the without is. But you see the difference? It's like, this is the transformation. Now, how I do it, I'm going to tell you that later. But now you're like, okay, I want more freedom. I want more revenue. I consider myself to be somewhat successful. Let me keep going and see what else you got.
Mm.
If I'm somewhat successful, I'm not, like I said, it takes a very aware person to admit, yes, I've made six figures. Yes, I've made millions, but I still have limiting beliefs and I need help. It's not too many people who going to raise their hand and say that. So that's why people weren't opting in. So that, like, that's the difference between the transformation and the process. Because if I help you with your limiting beliefs, if I help you get rid of your insecurities, you make more money and you get more freedom because you're making more money.
Show them the end picture. Show them the vision. Like,
in my copywriting process, I call it take them to the promised land. You have to be able to paint that picture. And that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, knowing exactly what they want. If you can answer that question, everything else, you know, falls into place.
That's right. Wow, man. I feel like that's something, like, unless people are, like, that would take people years and years to figure out. And there's probably people that they'll forever go on and not ever know that information.
Man, Tolu, I see so many. On Tuesdays, we do Marquard does free marketing reviews. And sometimes I pop in and I go to some of these people's websites and I'm like, who is telling y'all to build this shit? Mm. Like, who is telling you that this is, and don't get me wrong, you know, the sweet pictures and all that, but like, it tells me nothing about what you do.
Mm.
And then you have the people who too smart for their own good. And it's like, they're, you know, sometimes we call it a whiff them. Sometimes we call it an I help statement, but it's like that you see it and you have no idea what that means. Like, I saw someone's page yesterday. They said, I help women CEOs sprinkle magic on their business. What the hell is that? What is it?
Oh, man.
People try to be so creative that it misses the mark totally. And then we were actually on Clubhouse on Tuesday.
Okay.
So we're like, what is that? So then she's like, systematize and automate. And I'm like, stop right there. Because number one, any business, once the people she wants to attract, and I'm one of these people, when I hear systems and automation, I'm gone.
Well, maybe can I kind of jump in and see
if
I could create a headline that would, okay, so instead of me saying that, you know, I sprinkle magic into your business, I'll help you, are you looking for more freedom time to spend with friends, family, go on vacation? Let me help you put together a proven system to get to that point.
There you go. You didn't say nothing about systems and automation. You spoke about what it is I actually want. So, you know what I'm saying? And that's what people have a habit of doing. Everybody wants to talk about the process. I might care. I mean, don't get me wrong. People care about the process. But if you pull me in on what I want, even if I was at one point apprehensive about your process, once you introduce it, I'm now sold on you actually helping me get what I want. So even though I may hate systems and automation, it's like, okay, let me, you know, go through this pain a little bit to get to where I want. But if you try to get me on systems and automation, I'm gone. I'm not a high C on the, I used to be, I'm not anymore. You know, I understand the importance of it, but I still haven't heard anything, you know, enough to where it's like, okay, I want that, I need that. Let me go ahead and, no, it's, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
And I think, you know, I love the, I almost feel like what you're specializing in is what people first need to study, understand, even before they start, you know, building out all these teams and processes and getting on clients. Because if from the beginning you can be fine tuned as to what your messaging is and the angle, because I feel like there's so much going on nowadays that if you have a really great angle, it's going to help you out in the long run in life. But could you break down, as you know, as we start wrapping up, and I'm excited about all this, obviously, but, you know, working with Sierra and kind of like your SPB, you know, program, or like, you know, when somebody signs up to work with you as a client, mm-hmm. like, how do you take them to the promised land? Like, what are some of the steps that you implement?
So ironically, right now, I'm not taking any work clients. that's crazy for me to even say that. But typically, what happens is I get a clear understanding on, like, what are the goals? What are you, like, what are, first of all, what do we have? Because in order to work with me, your product has to be at a certain a certain price point, right? So you could truly get an ROI. Like, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't typically work with clients who do like the free, then a $7, then a $97, then a $297. I typically don't work with people who do that, because that's too much going on. But how I take them to the problem is, number one, getting a clear understanding on the transformation they provide, right? If I can't create something to get people to make a move unless I understand what your offering will do for them. And the crazy thing is this, Tolu, a lot of times the client don't even know how to articulate it. I have to kind of like, there's a series of questions that I ask, like 50. And then we do like a interview where I'm still just digging deep to get a clear understanding of who was this for. We create the perfect one person, not the perfect target market, not the perfect group. We create the perfect one person for their product, service, or program, and everything flows from that. Now, you know, every time I say that, people are like, well, just one person, not an entire market. No, one person. We need to know, who is this exactly for? That's another part of my signature method that I teach. But I mean, yeah, and that's pretty much it. I don't force clients. Like, a lot of people always ask me, do I do a lock-in in terms of how many months I require? I used to, and then I stopped because the people that I was locking in, after a month, I didn't want to work with them no more anyway.
Wow.
So month to month, if you want to cancel 30, like I don't beg anybody to work with me. Am I perfect? No. I'm a business owner. I make mistakes. But one thing, and you can ask any client I've ever worked with, that I'm not afraid to do is admit my mistakes. I will flat out tell them, like, you know what? That email was scheduled for the wrong day and time. But here's how we're going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? I don't just be like, oh, I don't know what happened. No, I don't do that. But, you know, things happen. You know, all situations, stuff just happens. You know how business is. It's like the client that you think is going to be the perfect client, you end up, like, not even liking that person by the end of the agreement. And then the client that you're kind of, like, iffy on, you may end up like, the best. Cool. So, yeah.
And I think it's so interesting because you're literally working with the voice. You're working with their projection into, you know, like how it's almost like PR, you know, like how the world perceives you, because in essence, you're almost like a cheerleader for them, you know, like, because I don't want a sad email to come. I want an email to come across optimistic, like energized, you know, catch my attention. And I feel like when you do month to month, clients respect that because they're like, oh, if I don't get results, then I'm not tied into anything. And I feel like it does put pressure on the entrepreneur, because at the end of the day, you're saying to yourself, like, I want to do a good job with them during this month so that, you know, they renew, you know, that invoice moving forward. And I know I'm a person, I'm hearing, like, when I tell our clients, like, okay, this is a month-to-month, you know, contract, it gives them a little bit more confidence because it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. These are the ones that understand business enough to be like, oh, okay, so you got to eat what you kill, and, you know, you got to, you know, bring them the meat, and, you know, bring them results, and, you know, they eating good with what you're doing, I'm staying.
Yeah.
How do you handle, because one thing you said, interestingly enough, you were like, oh, I'll admit, hey, look, I sent out that email on the wrong day. So there's probably those clients that you have where it's like, you send out that email on the wrong day because they're so big or something like that. That's a massive whiplash. Like, it's going to do some damage, like, not in a good way. How do you create systems or processes around making sure that, you know, when emails are supposed to be sent out, it's sent out, or even some of like the higher level clients, making sure that, you know, things are really squared away?
I'll be honest and say it's not easy, because you have to delegate it to somebody else. Otherwise, you're just going to drive yourself crazy, right? So, and then it really depends on the client. So a client like Wall Street Trapper, it's tough to delegate because with what he does, things change on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So what I may have had in mind for an email, you know, last week, because typically I try to create his stuff a week in advance, it may not be it's actually not relevant today. Like, actually, the email I was supposed to go out today, it hasn't went out yet because last night he did it live, and it's like the direction needs to be changed.
Wow.
I think the biggest thing is keeping the lines of communication open. But for some clients where, you know, their content or what they're doing isn't, there isn't a huge variation, the best thing you can do, well, what I do is create a head and schedule out. I mean, then I tell clients when I onboard them that, you know, typically things are created a week in advance. If there needs to be a change, if you plan on, you know, doing something, I need 48 hours. Because I used to just say, just text me. I stopped that. I stopped that because, you know, now you be getting texts all time of night. Yeah.
11 a.m. I mean, it'd be like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Hey, you still awake?
Right. So it's a combination of like planning ahead and just getting a schedule. Like I said, I will say I've never sent an email on the wrong day, but there has been instances where, for example, if something was scheduled to go, if something was supposed to go out today, but instead it was, that's sending it on the wrong day. But with those emails, it's not like I got a webinar tonight and they didn't get the link. Not nothing like that. That's it. It's just more so, instead of a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule this week, we're going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And that's another thing I like about my clients. They literally let me do my thing. Like, I do a lot of testing because, you got to get a feel for the audience. Mm. Like, Trap's audience, a lot of them work 9 to 5. So lately what I've been testing is sending after 5 o'clock versus the morning. Mm. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like a... But keeping the lines of communication open, I think, is important. And then, like, just being honest with the client. Like, I'm not perfect. I've lost clients. I fire clients, and clients have told me, like, no, what I think, that's cool. That's just the reality of business.
Keep it pushing.
People leave Apple to go to Android. It is what it is. But you can't let that, like, stop you or determine, you know, how good you actually are. Like, people are people. You know what I'm saying? We're humans. Things are going to go wrong sometimes. It's how you handle it that really matters. And even the clients I lost, they can never say I didn't put no money in their pocket. That's one thing they can never say. Even the clients that I've parted ways with,
You did right by them.
They for sure. And the crazy thing is, I've been paying attention to some of them. They ain't sent the email since. They sent the email since, but it's life.
It's what it is. And some people have to go away to realize the importance of all that and come. We had clients leave, and then when they out there in the wilderness and, you know, things that happen, and then they don't have that energy and that system and that structure that you had set up. Then they come. Hey, you still available? And what email, real quick, do you recommend people use ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, you know, AWeber, GetResponse? Like,
so I used to love ConvertKit, but now I'm an ActiveCampaign junkie. Only because ActiveCampaign, the reports are just more robust.
ActiveCampaign become they.
Yeah, they.
What's happening?
ConvertKit's trying, but they still got a long way. I will say, for ease of use, ConvertKit is very easy to use.
It's pretty. It looks delicious.
Right.
It
comes to, you know, data optimizing, like really, really, is ActiveCampaign killing it.
What? ActiveCampaign be sitting in the room like I was waiting on you.
Yeah, they do. When I switched, because I was using ConvertKit for a while, and I remember when I switched, and I'm like, okay, I get it. But that it took me a minute. You know, once again, this is the growing as a business owner, understanding how important data is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I can see way more over here than I saw over there. Like, ActiveCampaign tells you the best, like, when people are actually opening, like, what that trend is on certain days. You can't get that in ConvertKit. Crazy thing is, all my clients use ConvertKit, except one.
Their marketing. Their marketing looks so good. They got the, you know, playful, colorful. They know how to, like, hypnotize you into their world and everything. But ActiveCampaign, when you look at it, it looks like real militaristic.
ActiveCampaign is, you're running a business. You're not just out here willy-nilly. So, yeah. And I love, but I, you know, I do love Klaviyo as well. I was not a fan of Klaviyo at the beginning, but if you have Shopify,
Better plug that bad boy in.
Yeah, that and seeing those numbers on the side is, yeah,
everything. Clients be happy when they say, you know, the little circle, you know, with the how much revenue was created and everything.
Like
and
the dashboard that tells you which email. Yeah, that.
They be like, Sierra, we working with you forever.
Right.
The numbers like, we ain't going nowhere. Nah, definitely. Is there anything that you want to say to future, you know, copywriters or to business owners or, you know, anybody that's even looking to maybe work with you or maybe join the program or coaching call or anything?
I mean, so I did say that I'm kind of like shifting gears again, right? I would say just send me, the easiest thing right now is to just send me a DM. Whether you're looking to become a copywriter or looking to join, if you're a coaching consultant looking to, you know, attract your ideal client, make more money, all of that stuff without working 24/7, just send me a DM. Yeah, that's the easiest way right now.
Awesome. So my mastermind is, look, if you're looking for, I mean, I feel like this conversation that we just had with Sierra, like you need, when you're thinking about going into business, when you're thinking about building a brand, like she's the type of person you need to come to first and like just sit down, shut up and listen and like absorb this information, ask your questions, because a lot of people out here spending years of doing the wrong thing, no messaging, no, it just look like you winging it. And super appreciative because not only are you focusing on like coaches and consultants that impact other people's lives, but the fact that I think I saw maybe CAU with Markel, you were giving like you were speaking in front of entrepreneurs. So to see all of that is I think that's super exciting because not only do people get to see a strong Black woman, you know, develop her own business, but teach other people, you know, a lot of these foundational like core elements of, especially nowadays in the digital world, you know, you need messaging, you need branding, you need to be able to have a certain angle, you know, when you're talking to people. So Sierra, thank you for everything.
Thank you. I appreciate for having, I mean, whatever, anytime you need me to do, you know, just reach out. We locked in now, but I appreciate the opportunity to.
Yo, I had to fight to get her on the podcast, man. I was hunting her down, man. I was like, she ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna get her.
I appreciate it though. So yeah, whatever you need, I'm here.
I appreciate that, Queen. All right, until next time, my masterminders, we are out. Tap in with Sierra. Get that knowledge, get that information ASAP. Go follow her on Instagram. I'm going to include all the links to her sites, her Instagram. Go get that now.
Hey, I appreciate you for listening to the Mastermind Your Life podcast. Again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TOLU.OWOYEMI, and blow up my inbox, man. I need to hear your suggestions, feedback, people I need to interview next, topics I need to cover. Again, I appreciate all y'all. And while you're at it, you might as well go to Apple and drop that review. Let's get it. Rah.